Is the portal quarterback search nearing its end? Why can't Auburn seemingly get any offensive tackles? And what does the 2026 recruiting outlook look like? It's time for another Barn Takeover.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Friday. The portal season is just full speed ahead. Visitors every single day. My days got off a little bit with the equipment issues on Tuesday, so we skipped our barn takeover. We're going to take it. We're going to get it going today. All content driven by members of thebarnauburn.com. You're missing out if you're not a part of it. They submit their questions, and then we let it drive the show. So before we dive into that, we got portal quarterback QB1 talk. We got all kinds of strategy talk, offensive tackle talk, 2026 recruiting talk, 2025 schedule talk. A lot of stuff coming up. Before we dive into all of that, you got to go to mybookie.ag, use coupon code NEXTROUND for a 300% deposit bonus. That's right. Whatever you give them, multiply it by three, you're going to get that back in free play to go play in the casino. Win big there. Take your winnings over to the sports book. Hit those sports lines any way you can imagine, parlays, teasers, doesn't matter. They got it all. So easy deposits, easy withdrawals, check them out, mybookie.ag. Without further ado, and some of these don't hold back, okay? So they get after it, and we're not going to shy away from it. So first question from Durs: is Hugh really willing to bet his entire Auburn career on Jackson Arnold? I think the fan base is a little bit, I say that lightly, divided on Jackson Arnold, understandably so, based off of the results from last year. I think others kind of see the tools that he has and the situation that he was in, and can see, you know, the positives, can see the potential there. But to answer this question, the one thing that I feel like this question is insinuating is that Jackson Arnold was 100% the number one choice over all else, and there was no effort put elsewhere. And I think that's untrue. Now, I'm not saying that they went through 15 quarterbacks and now they're at Jackson Arnold, but you know, there are some situations that maybe did not play out like expected. And now you have to go with what's the best available. And I think Jackson Arnold, for what Hugh wants to do on offense, what Hugh is looking at as far as some of the deficiencies on offense, and look at the type of game that Jackson has and the skill set that he has, and I think it matches. I think it matches better than I think it matches better than, you know, all of the portal quarterbacks available currently. Now, could they still, you know, could there still be a Hail Mary unicorn that pops in the next today or tomorrow? Possibly, but I don't think you can wait very much longer. And I don't look at it as Hugh betting his whole career on Jackson Arnold. I look at it as Hugh's getting the best quarterback available that he feels like fit of what's available, what's in the portal, based on the situation at hand, and you'll have to see what we put around him. So that's my take on that question. I don't feel like it's just been that we're going with Jackson Arnold and that's it. I think they've worked really hard on others, and I think the next question we're going to kind of allude a little bit more to that. So next question, Gravy Days, great name. How are we seemingly missing out on a blockbuster quarterback when all we heard was that the boosters were giving Hugh and Co. a blank check to get one. I don't think that's untrue. You can only do so much. You can have a better offer. You can have more, a potential to earn more money on the table. At the end of the day, the kid has to leave the school he's at. Okay. The kid has to leave the school that he's currently attending. And sometimes, believe it or not, these kids make like decisions outside of just money, outside of just paychecks. A lot of agents are fishing. They're out there fishing for paychecks, but at the end of the day, the kid has to make the decision. So just because Auburn doesn't get one of those pie in the sky, I don't even want to say pie in the sky, one of those, you know, quote unquote, top tier quarterbacks poached from another team does not mean that there was not a potential for that particular person, insert name, to make more money at Auburn. Doesn't mean that. At the end of the day, they have to make the decision to go. They have to look at it. It's hard to want to move in general. You got to have, like, for example, let's say you're just in life. You got a job, but you're comfortable where you live. You got another job offer. It's not like just a 10% raise is going to make you want to uproot your family and go somewhere. Like, it's got to be something pretty significant to make you want to go through the effort of moving, of changing scenery, leaving what's comfortable. Like, there's a lot of things that go into it other than just money. And so I think some of these guys probably could, based off of what Auburn was willing to pay, could have had a substantial NIL increase. But for whatever reason, they're in a good situation. And, you know, perception is Auburn's not in a great situation yet. They're on the up. They're building. They haven't gotten there yet. So do I leave a really good situation, maybe even a potential playoff team, in the coming years to go make more money, and, you know, go be a part of a rebuilding? I mean, it's a tough decision. So again, based off what you have to understand that just because you don't land one doesn't mean you weren't willing to spend to get one. I think that's a misconception. Oh, Auburn's doing the thing again. They're doing the thing and they don't want to spend the money. Yeah, they do. They do. And it's out there. But again, the cost risk analysis, or whatever you want to call it, of a guy deciding to uproot himself and go to Auburn right now, I think there's just some guys that are comfortable where they are, no matter what the money is. And there's some pretty crazy numbers. So I think they've tried. They've put it out there what they're willing to pay. I think a lot of agents have reached out. And I think a lot of agents would love, obviously, for some of their guys to make a jump. But at the end of the day, the kid's got to make the jump. And I just think that I think of all the names you're going to see rumored, that you've seen on message boards and everywhere else rumored that Auburn would be interested in, I think most all of them are going to end up staying where they are. And I don't blame them, because there's a lot of the guys are in really good spots. So again, I don't think it's a issue of not wanting to pay. I think it's just an issue of there was not a ton of real true blue blockbuster portal options. I don't think there's not a Cam Ward. The John Mateer may be the closest guy to Cam Ward. And I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. He's going to end up at Oklahoma. He's going to follow his offensive coordinator. I don't really know of other options. There's not even really other names associated with him. Maybe Miami. I think Auburn's definitely – but I don't even know that he's – is he even 100% in the portal yet? I don't even know. But yeah, I just don't think there's that blockbuster guy out there, number one. And then number two, you got to get, they got to decide to go. They got to decide to get in the portal. And for whatever reason, a lot of the big names just haven't. So you got to go get the best available. And Jackson Arnold, for what's available, added to what Hugh wants to do, seems like he's the best option out there. Let's move on. Ted Rich, is the Stanford quarterback still in play at quarterback two? Yes, Ashton Daniels. Yeah, he's still out there. He's still out there. So he's still part of the plan. I don't want to say too much, but there could be another scenario here where it's a different quarterback one, different quarterback two. And let's let that play out. But I think as of now, I would expect Ashton Daniels to be quarterback two. But could there be a scenario where Jackson Arnold's quarterback two? There might be. We'll have to see how that plays out. But again, Ashton is definitely still part of the equation. I don't know exactly when that'll pop or when that could go down, but I think he's still part of the equation. Let's go to the next one. This will probably lead into the next question, but Oso de Miami, very active. One of our very active posters. A lot of fun. Has great work. Great insight too. Out of all the portal targets, who are you most excited to get in? Who do you think will be the most important outside of quarterback? Well, I love the Eric Singleton visit. I think he left and everybody kind of freaked out. He did not go straight to Ole Miss. He went to, I think, back home to take a final. I think he had a Ole Miss visit scheduled for this weekend. He canceled his Georgia visit. So it seems like it's down to Auburn and Ole Miss. And I think if Auburn wants to end it between now and his Ole Miss visit, I think they could. He's an elite receiver. He can do multiple things. I'm very excited about him. And then I would be excited about any offensive tackle. There's not one scheduled to visit right now, which is somewhat concerning. There was his name escapes me right now. Auburn was going to pursue a Kansas State offensive tackle, and he ended up committing to Washington, I believe, before he got here to visit. So you got Josh Thompson, who's a guard tackle combo guy that from Northwestern that's on the visit. I think Auburn sits really well with, but he's going to take other visits and make a decision at the end of the month. And then you have Wendell Moe Jr. from Arizona, who's a stud, who I think is on commit watch, who's coming in, I think, today. He'll be here for a couple of days. But you don't have any of those tackles. I think there may be still some work to do. There's still some guys out there that could enter the portal, and there's some guys they're working on to get visits from. So still some work to do there. I would be excited about any offensive tackle, to answer your question. So TBD. On whom I'm most excited to get, because no matter who you get at quarterback, you got to be able to get some offensive line help, if nothing else, to create competition. But you'd really love to get a blockbuster, like real, real good, solid left tackle. Let's go on to the next question. Actually, before we do that, let's give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. Go to retirementresults.com/plan. Dadgummit, where is it? There it is. Retirementresults.com/plan to get your custom free portfolio analysis. It's a $1,500 value. Make sure you're not paying fees, crazy fees. Make sure you're protected from the IRS, and make sure your dollar's going as far as it can possibly go. You'll make a great friend at the same time. Tell him we're Eagle. Tell him we sent you. It's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. All right, back in it. This, which leads me to my next question, which I think is great. 5 o'clock, Charlie. I see we only have two offensive line visiting so far, and both seem to be guards. What's the plan at tackle, and why the heck do we struggle getting elite tackles? This is a question that I go through over and over again, and it's wild that I can't really pinpoint what the issue is. I would love to say It's an NIL issue. But you know what? We couldn't get tackles before there was NIL. I would love to say as simple as it's a coaching issue. We need a better recruiter. But we had trouble with getting offensive tackles before this staff. It's not like this just happened. It's not like this just reared its head. It's so perplexing that elite offensive tackles, Auburn, seem to elude Auburn. And I'm going to be honest, I don't know the answer. I really don't. I don't know if you have to change your emphasis, change your strategy. I really don't know the answer. It's crazy. I don't know if it's that you feel like you can piecemeal something together. So do you want to go spend the money that you have to spend to get that elite tackle? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know the answer. It's crazy. It's insane that even last year in the portal, you had the opportunity to get a couple that I felt like you probably could have closed if you got them on campus, but you didn't schedule it right. You had them on the back end versus the front end, and they committed before they got to you. It's like we're snake bit. It really is. It's like a long string of bad luck. Now, there's still a lot of time left in this thing. I mean, this is only the third day of really guys visiting places. So I think there's still going to be some, guys to watch out for. I know that I think North Carolina just had a big offensive tackle go into the portal that Auburn, I think, would pursue. There's a couple of more. You just got to get them on campus. So I think those will start popping up as we, as time goes on. But man, we're snake bit there. And I cannot figure out what the issue is. Let's go on to the next quote. Good question, though. I think about it night and day. Rooster 2628. Do you have any idea what our portal budget is? Also, is there a value system that determines how much a portal player is worth, or is it a player-to-player situation? So answer the first question. I don't know. I don't know what the total budget is. I know there's all I know is they're willing to spend a fair amount, a good amount on 8 to 10 players. So take those, add that up, and then divide by the biggest number you can think of, and I imagine that's going to be close to what multiply by the biggest number you can think of, and that's probably going to be close to what they're willing to spend, because they're really willing to shell out some money. Is there a value system that determines how much a portal player is worth, or is it a player-to-player situation? So there's an idea. there's an idea of portal what a position is worth, what a tier one, tier two, they have those that's how they're going about evaluating kids, and they have their idea based off of what they've seen across the country. They have an idea of what a tier one wide receiver should cost, a tier one pass rusher, a tier one offensive lineman. The problem is this thing is a moving target. Like, those are great ideas, but a lot of times they're not reality, because you don't know how desperate another school is for that particular position. So you may have your whole board laid out on, I want to get a tier one offensive tackle, a tier two wide receiver for this much, a tier one linebacker for this much, and a tier one quarterback for this much. And if that's the case, it all works out perfectly in our budget. But then somebody comes along and now they're offering tier one offensive tackles 30% more than what you have them marked for on your board. So now you're having to completely reshuffle everything. And with the way that collectives are handling the transition to rev share, there's a lot of cash dumped right now. There's a lot of collectives unloading cash right now to prepare for revenue sharing in June. And I may do a whole show on this to explain it a little bit more in depth. So in other words, they're dumping everything, just hoping that the rev share works out and it can pick up the slack whenever the rev share kicks in June. And that's a huge risk. That's a huge gamble. So it's sort of throwing off the values a little bit, I think. But to answer your question, yes, Auburn does have an idea of what positions cost, a market value, if you will. But the problem is the way this thing is evolving and as fast as this thing moves, those things are only as good as right now, because Arkansas could have, you know, a huge donation and really need a left tackle and pay 50% over what a left tackle would go on the market. And now what do? You move the value up to that? Like, is that the new value, or is that just an anomaly? Like, it's tough. It's really tough. So you can have a good idea of what you would spend, but all that changes in real time. But the good thing is, I think Will Redmond and crew are prepared for that type stuff. So we'll see how that plays out, but that, I hope that answers your question. Let's see. Can you give us any specifics behind the scenes and in the building about how different this cycle is compared to last? It's mostly organization, and then immediate pivots, and then the scheduling. I mean, you have so many of the first, you've gotten a lot of first visits. You can't have every first visit, but just the organization and having four or five guys in, and then the timing of when the new guys for the next day come in, and the old guy and the guys prior leave, especially if they're like competing, you know, they're the same position. The organization in general has just been very impressive on how they're getting folks in. Now they got to get them closed. There's a couple out there that I think could pop pretty quick. So, just overall organization, communication, strategy, and now you got to close. Keep going. Tenjiro Kamado. I got lessons on how to say this name. He sent me a video on how to say his name. Tenjiro Kamado, very fun poster on the board. Any updates on Omar Mabson in general? Where do you think we stand with the 2026 recruiting cycle? How do you like your chance? How do you like our chances with Sadarian Morgan? So three-parter. So first, Omar is officially reclassified to the 2025 class. So that's done. Now, he can't graduate until June, and he's going to sign in February. And I think Auburn is in the driver's seat. So I think he'll probably take an official visit to Auburn here after probably sometime in once like the dead period ends in January. I'm not exactly sure how that whole thing works with portal versus high school, but as soon as he's allowed to, I think he'll take an official visit here, which is going to be a tough trip for him. You know, it's probably like 1 mile to campus, but I would expect him to take an official visit. And as of right now, I think he ends up at Auburn. There's going to be some other teams come on late, but I think this was sort of like a plan. So we'll see what happens there. Where do I think we stand with the 2026 recruiting cycle? I like a lot of the names I'm hearing out there, and I think Auburn's got a big commitment on the horizon before the end of the month in the 2026 class, a really good one. I think a top 100 player. So definitely be on the watch for that. How do you like our chances with Sadarian Morgan? I will tell you that the player is not Sadarian Morgan, but I would love for it to be. This kid's a freak, and I would kill to have that kid in this class. And I think Auburn is going to put a ton of focus on him and a ton of effort. I think last summer around Big Cat weekend, he started getting some crystal ball predictions. I know Alabama obviously wants him a lot too. I think maybe he grew up sort of in an Alabama family, so it's going to be a tough one, but I think Hughes made him a priority since he's been here. So you got the connection to Malcolm Simmons. You can't take it for granted, but I think Auburn has a really good shot to land him. I think 2026 recruiting in general, I don't see any slack from. I don't see it slowing down unless obviously there's some bigger struggles on the field this year. I think you'll see a very similar cycle to last year. You'll see a lot of hype, a lot of early commitments, a summer blockbuster, and then it's all on the season. Then it's, hey, now you got to put your money where your mouth is. So I like where we sit at 2026. Watch towards the end of the month. I think we're going to have a big addition, big addition to the class. What are your thoughts on the 2025 schedule? Let me pull it up really quick. Auburn football 2025 schedule. My first thoughts when I first saw it were it seems very, very manageable. It seems very, very manageable. And I like that we didn't stack a bunch of home games in a row. I'm glad they got that split up. You get an open date before Georgia. That's big. And then you move Mercer. You get Mercer before Alabama. So instead of going, you know, Texas A&M, Alabama, two big emotional games, you split it up and you have an off day, an off week, then Mercer, then Alabama. I love that. So you got you open at Baylor. It's going to be the hottest game on the planet. You got Ball State and South Alabama at home. And then you go, I think one of the tough stretches is at Oklahoma, at Texas A&M. That's going to be tough. But then you get the open date. So, I mean, this schedule is really, really manageable. It may be even more manageable than what last year should have been, other than that little October where you didn't have any home games. You get a good balance this time. So you get three in November. You get two home games in October, and you get two home games in September. So it's really balanced. I like that. I like that a lot. So I think this is a very, very manageable, very, very manageable schedule. I love having three home games in November to close. You get Georgia and Alabama at home, which is great. It's the opening five is a little bit tougher than what last year should have been. So you got to be ready to play. You got to be ready to play. You could really set the tone if you go to Baylor and win that one. But that's my thoughts on the early schedule release. I like it. I like it a lot better than this past year, even though maybe this past year's schedule, in theory, should have been a lot easier than we made it out to be. Guys, that's it. Another great Barn Takeover. If you want to be a part of this too, and we're retooling this where it could be a lot more fun, so this is the time to join the Barn. We have absolutely exploded in memberships over the past week. So it's your turn. What are you waiting on? Come jump in the fun. Get in this get in this portal mega thread. I think it's over 120 plus pages right now. Hourly updates, it seems like. Letting you know where they're freaking eating for dinner. Like all kind of intel when visitors are here. It's a lot of fun. And then just the conversation around it's a blast too. So sign up, thebarnauburn.com. And then obviously, if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, the_Charlie_5. We're going to be back. See what we're going to do on the weekend. Not really sure yet. There could be some portal updates tomorrow. And if there is, obviously I want to be on top of it. We'll have some basketball stuff as well at the Barn Auburn YouTube page. So just be on the lookout for that. And we'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Sorry, got too many going on. Another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.